Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, so the story again, it appears the Blue Jays have acquired Miles Straw from the Guardians. The Guardians will receive a player to be named later or cash in return. That's coming from MLB trade rumors. What was the other stuff? There was no other information, was there? Did I miss anything else on that?
I mean, the Guards are also going to send international bonus money to the Blue Jays as well, which does nothing for anybody who is living here. But if you are a fan of the Blue Jays, it pretty much screams they are loading up to make an offer for Roki Sasaki.
Yes.
Who is the hot Japanese pitcher?
Mm-hmm. Who came out as an amateur, so therefore can only sign for the amateur cash as a minor leaguer and cannot sign as a major leaguer.
Can't sign a great big contract.
Exactly. Yep.
And folks in Japan weren't happy that he came over.
Right. All right. So ends the Miles Straw era here in Cleveland.
If you're Miles Straw, aren't you like doing the Baskin sigh of relief and saying, thank you, I'm getting out of here? And not because he didn't like it here, but because obviously the team moved on from it.
Yeah, although, didn't they bring him back during the playoffs or right before the playoffs?
Yeah, so he could sit and watch.
Okay, well, I don't think... I think
he spent the year playing for Columbus.
Yeah. It was a difficult choice for the Guardians to walk away from him on that, right? I mean, they had to make a decision.
You mean now to walk away?
No,
oh,
then.
No.
Then, beginning of the season. I mean, he was an investment.
Yeah.
They paid him. Defensively, he's a major leaguer. It's being at the plate where he struggles.
Let me throw something at you.
Sure. We're going to get back to this quarterback talk here.
Oh, good. Oh, I can't wait. They.
It was your idea.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, we just had a trade.
I know.
My guess is we're going to talk quarterback a little bit longer coming up in the next month or two. Yes, I know. But I just have one point here.
Okay.
Miles came over from Houston, had one pretty good offensive year, and they signed him to a multi-year contract, thinking, okay, the guy can hit. Then he couldn't hit. They also signed another Toronto Blue Jay now after he came over from the Mets, played really good defense, had one pretty good offensive year. Boom. Here's Andrés Giménez with a nice, great, big, long contract that really doesn't kick in financially until now moving forward. Did they miss twice on guys who were pretty good defensively? And they thought, okay, yep, he's going to hit enough that he's worth that contract because they've traded both of them to Toronto.
First of all, they have 10,000 middle infielders that can either play the position at shortstop or second base, or they just turn him into an outfielder. Isn't that how it works? So I think that they
oh, somebody else.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they – is there a problem with an organization wanting to believe in their own depth and that they're going to go out and draft somebody and put themselves in a position to give them the opportunity to play, and that maybe you need to – at some point you got to walk away. That's what this organization has done for 30 years, and they've had success. And at some point you may have to give up someone who might have a little bit – left to give another team so you can get something back, knowing that the guys that are coming up from the minors can be the future.
That's great. Or did you miss on two guys who you thought would hit?
I can't sit here and say that they missed on the contract with Straw.
Exactly. There's right.
It's the contract miss. I don't know that it's a player miss, because if you can replace them with someone who's better, did you really miss? Or were you able to believe in your own organization to make – you know, guys that you thought could be talented into major leaguers, and then they show their talent at the major league level.
My only thought is, does it make them hesitant to move forward, maybe giving long-term contracts to guys based on a shorter sample size offensively?
The Miles Straw contract was all of 5 years for $25 million a year. We're talking $5 million bucks.
Yeah, I know, except they still gave it to him, and it's an organization that doesn't like to get tied to long-term contracts, especially for guys who don't produce.
But
it's a very different contract than Giménez, but the scenario is the same.
In the beginning,
a guy who hit well once.
I know you're putting your arms up, and I think you're looking at
it. He hit 285 for the Indians, and they thought, hey, we got a guy who can hit and help. And they gave him the contract, and he didn't hit. Andres, who I love, hit and then didn't really grow as a hitter.
The point isn't about the money. It's
not
about
at all.
The investment.
Thank you, Andy.
It's the investment.
It's the fact that they decided to invest in two guys who they thought were really great gloves, and they both are gold gloves.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both great, but the offense wasn't there, and they moved on from both guys.
This is like comparing apples and...
No, you're
looking... No. Let me finish the analogy. Please. Give me a little bit. And a fruit that I can't think of right now that's relatively similar to apples in that way, but is similar but not the same.
A pear.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. I couldn't think of one.
Yeah,
because the difference in the two of those guys was that Miles Straw was a five-year deal for $25 million.
Take the money out of it.
No. But the money is a part of it. Because $5 million a year is not my point.
It's not a part of it.
But it is.
No, not with my point. My point is this. They signed a guy because he was a great defender who had one good offensive year, and they locked him up. And they did it twice. My only point is this. Are they not judging guys properly? That's my only point.
If you
forget the money. It costs you more to sign him in as because he's better. But my point is this. You signed a guy who you know is a gold glove guy, and you thought he'd hit well enough, and they didn't hit well enough. Forget the money. It's the same. It's the exact same signing, but for very different contracts.
But if I could walk up to Juan Brito right now, or if I could walk up to Brian Rocchio, or if I could walk up to, I don't know, pick your poison of somebody that you really like on this ball club and offer them $5 million for a 5-year deal for $25 million, you would do it to all of those guys. Like, that's not a move that should cripple an organization or make you look at that organization and think to themselves, oh, they're investing in the wrong places. No, they're not. It's $5 million for 5 years.
Either
that's why I look at it and I'm like, this is apples and pears.
Either you're missing my point or you don't care to look at it. So
I think I'm missing your point.
His point is more about the investment. Like I totally,
my point is about the evaluation.
Evaluation and investment based on, the investment based on the evaluation.
That's correct.
That's what he's talking about. Like, yeah, again, and
they decided to lock themselves into a 5-year contract on Miles Straw based on the fact that he hit .285 for him 1 year.
Yeah, that's it. That there, and if it doesn't work out, that, you know,
it wasn't much of a hit, but you locked into that, and they probably played him longer than they should have before they bit the bullet and sent him to AAA.
Right,
which is extremely difficult for an organization that runs
that watches its money.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's my point.
They don't want to make mistakes. They don't want to Nick Swisher again.
And they got rid of Andres. First of all, you draft a guy number one who's a second baseman. And then you get rid of him before the big money kicks in.
Because
maybe you've signed a guy who you thought might continue to hit fairly well, and it just didn't progress. And I love Andrés Giménez. I think he's a tremendous baseball player. But truly, the bat wasn't there.
But they're also willing to maybe look at something where it might go against fan sentiment, where you look at Josh Naylor against Carlos Santana, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. Like, that money didn't – that's not an atypical – Guardians move.
You spent more on the guy you're bringing in who's almost 40.
Yeah.
Than on the guy you traded away for next to nothing who's coming off 31 homers and 100 RBIs.
Yeah, so like how do you explain that? I know this doesn't have anything to do with what you're talking about before, but it's quirky because they're clearly the most consistent team in town when it comes to managing what they're doing
and their approach, from a business standpoint. Yeah.
And if you can weigh things out as having success during the season by making the playoffs, they're an unbelievable successful organization. And this kind of goes against the grain. Both do. Like I'm serious that Chris is probably pulling hairs out of his head that they gave Miles Straw that deal in the first place and then kind of had to walk it back and then had to send him to the minors. Because I just don't think that's what no one would have that intention.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but boy, if you're panicking over that one,
it's not the money, Dan. It's not the money. It's the evaluation.
But the problem is that they go hand in hand. Like, by giving him that contract, it wasn't saying we think this guy is a future cornerstone. It's saying we think this guy can play, and we think this is somebody that can help our team. And when you,
and they were wrong.
And when you were wrong, okay, fine. But it's not like you
forget
you
the
landed
money
on it, a pillow.
All I was I was talking about was the evaluation.
Right.
All right, you took it to money. That's okay.
But because to me, that goes hand in hand. Doing, and maybe that's my misinterpretation, and I apologize for
that. To me, it's that they've evaluated two guys with great gloves as guys who might be able to help them offensively, and they decided to move on from both.
And here's the other part of it, too, is that this, if this seems nitpicky for teams that are willing to just walk away from guys that they gave them more money than they probably should have, it probably is, but it's the reason the organization is successful is because they don't miss. Yeah, they just don't, and that's why we both see this.
But
and
boy, if you're looking at it on that knife's edge, I mean, good God.
That's how they do their business.
Oh, I know, but boy, you are just putting yourself in a perpetual state of struggle if that's the knife's edge you're going to bounce on.
But they don't, because they don't make the mistake.
And they moved
that's
on. And they moved on from both. Give them credit for that.
Yeah.
They moved on from both.
Right. And again, I'll go back in history and just say, the aggravation from, you know, Swisher and Bourne. And, like, they didn't want to find themselves in those positions. And this is all Bourne. And I think Jeff and I both have a bigger picture on this because, we're talking from the 90s forward. The consistency in the organization, if you can just open your eyes and see how successful they've been, is because things like this are not
rare,
of the norm.
Rare.
They're not rare. The norm. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So the Santana one.
Okay.
If you want to go that direction. All right, this is one of those where prepare your raspberry noise accordingly, start snoring as you see fit.
Okay.
If you go by advanced metrics, you go by wins above replacement, you go by the lot, Carlos Santana is a better player than Josh Naylor. Okay?
Oh, over the course of time, I would say yes.
Over the course of an entire season, yes. The numbers would bear that out.
Last year he wasn't. Although he won a gold glove.
But again, it depends. If you are looking at the advanced analytics and all that stuff, they would come back and tell you that Carlos Santana was a better player last year than Josh Naylor was.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great.
So if you look at it from, I want somebody who is as consistent as they come, is going to play 150 games in a season, is going to play gold glove level first base, is going to have a .330 on base, is going to slug over 450.
May not eventually break down because he weighs more closer to 270 than he does to the listed 255.
And be able to hit 22 bombs, and you could pretty much put that like clockwork, then Carlos Santana is your guy.
Although at some point, doesn't the bottom fall out of that because he's pushing 40?
You would think, hence the reason they only handed him a one-year deal.
Yep.
But clearly that's how they looked at it, is they went, we can be better by having Carlos Santana here than we were with Josh Naylor. I know if you go look at the counting stats and you go look at RBI and you look at home runs and you look at all that stuff, you're going to go, what the hell is he talking about? But if you look at all the analytics and the advanced metrics and all of that kind of stuff and your VORPs and WARPs and whatever else you want to point to, Carlos Santana is a better player than Josh Naylor.
You know what I have to say?
You don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the swapping out Santana for Naylor either. I don't have any problem with it, do you?
I would have kept Josh for the year, as long as you're going to, if you're paying Santana for 1 year, I would have kept Josh for 1 year and paid him the $9.3 million instead of the $12 you're paying Carlos. And see maybe if he sticks around or maybe if it works. I know Chris Antonetti said the shape factor was not any concern for them. He said maybe it was for somebody else. You should ask them. I'd be stunned if that were actually the case. I would think they were concerned. I would have been. And if they weren't, they should have been. By the way, let me throw in one other thought. It's mid-January and we were just talking baseball.
Warms my heart.
Isn't that great?
All right, well, I'll make you even happier. Brian Anderson, super friend of the show. You know him and love him. He's next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.